So we're in Hilchos Tefillin Mezuzah Sefer Torah. Okay, so now that we finished Hilchos Tefillah, what we didn't do, in the back of Sefer Ahava, the Rambam actually has what's called his Siddur, where he lists all the text of Tefillah, for the most part. It's very compact, and then there's what's called the Siddur HaRambam, which is out there today, which is very well researched and expands on some of the points that the Rambam brings down. But anyway, that's actually specific Seder Tefillah, and the text is actually in the Mishneh Torah. So again, in fulfilling the Rambam's idea that this is the one sefer someone needs to practice Judaism, he doesn't let us down in that regard. So now we're going to start Tefillin, Mezuzah, and Sefer Torah. Okay, so this is much more technical halachic stuff, but it doesn't mean it's not interesting. And we'll do the Kosaris first, where he lists the mitzvos of these three areas. And then the first parak deals a lot with the requirements of both writing and the material that these things are written on. Okay, so in the Kosaris he says, so there's five positive commandments. So the first one is Lios Tefillin al Rosh. Okay, note the language. Not Lasim Tefillin al Rosh, not to place it, but that Tefillin should be on your head. Okay. Beis is Lakashrim al Yad. The other mitzvah is to tie it to your arm. And this leads to one of the more famous questions, which is how many mitzvahs are there of Tefillin? This is an issue that the Gemara Menachos takes up, and it's one of these tensions that exists, which is where is it two separate? It's listed as here two separate mitzvos, right? But we don't look at it as two separate mitzvos. For example, if a person only put on tefillin shel yad, he's definitely lacking something, right? So, or if you only put on tefillin shel rosh, so in some way they're one mitzvah, right? In another sense, they're two. And that's that's a complex area of what the idea is of them being two mitzvahs but yet one mitzvah. Likvoa mezuzah piskei asharim. So for those who I did some mezuzah stuff earlier this year, note the lush of the mitzvah is to be koveya, not to place, but to and really what he means is to make it a part, meaning a chelek of your entrance ways should have a mezuzah. They should not, and again, it's like, that's why the Rambam holds that you're supposed to use a nail to nail it into the wall. It's got to really be part of the wall. Okay, lichtov kol ish sefer Torah la'atzmo. This is a famous one. A person should write a sefer Torah for himself. And as we'll see when we get into it, that doesn't mean today what commonly people think is that you hire a sofer to write the sefer Torah and then you write like the last letter. That is not what the mitzvah was in. Tended to be. Also, when we get to the area, you'll see that there's a famous Shagas Arya who holds that today it's a mitzvah derabanan, that there is no mitzvah deraisa today of writing a Sefer Torah because we've lost a lot of the Mesorah for how to write it. And finally, halacha mitzvah hey, lichtov melech sefer sheni la'atzma, kadesh yulo shnei sefer Torah. So an interesting thing in the Kosaris is one of these important mitzvahs, the melech has to write an additional Sefer Torah. All right, he has one Sefer Torah that he has to write because he's a person, and the second one he has to write because he's a melech, and that's the one he carries around with him everywhere he goes. And the idea behind that is to remind him that he's a melech and he's always before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, Halacha Aleph. Arba Parshios Elu. Okay, so these four sections, Shehen Kadesh Li, V'haya Ki V'yacha Hashem, Shebe Sefer V'elishmos, Ushma V'haya Im Shema. Okay, so these four Parshios, Hein shenichtavos ifni atzman, all right, so they're, each one's written individually, okay, umechafen osoba or, and they're covered with skin, okay, v'nigran tefillin, so that's what tefillin are, okay, obviously it's a little more complicated than this, but tefillin essentially are parshios that are covered with the skin of a cow, all right, which we'll get to the specifics. Umanichen oson al roshan, okay, again, note the change in the language, you place it on your head, the koshen osan alayad, and you tie it onto your hand, which again also raises the question, which is what bracha do you make on your tefillin shel yad, right? Laniach tefillin, not likshor tefillin, which is interesting because you do see that the action of mitzvah on tefillin shel yad is actually kshira, and the Gemara takes it up as well. So then he says, "Vafilu kotzel shel ozachas ma'arba parshios elu ma'akev es kulam min haTorah ad shenichtavu shleimus ketikunan." So one little mistake, one dot from a letter, okay, one little point of a letter that's off or not there or missing, right, is ma'akev the entire entity. Okay, so there's no room for any psul, any defect in safras when it comes to the parshios of tefillin. Halacha beis v'chein shtei parshios shemezuzah. Okay, and as well as the two parshas that are in mezuzah. Now remember, these are on one cloth. Shehein shema v'hayim shema. Afilo os achas mishnei parshios im chaser kotzo ma'akev min haTorah ad sheyu shtei nechtavu shleimus. So you see a universal by the three mitzvahs here, Sefer Torah, Mezuzah, and Tefillin, that any mistake, okay, if you're kotz os achas, right, is ma'akev the entire thing. All right, so there's a stringency that exists. And also note the comparison that Sefer Torah, right, we'll use that as a paradigm, Mezuzah and Tefillin are really miniature Sifrei Torah. That's what they are. They're like you're taking as pieces from the Sefer Torah, I'm putting them into this other form. So when you have tefillin or mezuzah, you literally have like a little mini, I'd say, replication of Sefer Torah. Okay, and he'll get back to this later. Halacha Gimel. Okay, asar dvarim yesh betefillin kulan alacha lemoshe misinai v'kulam akvin. Okay, so there are 10 things, 10 things that apply to tefillin that all are alacha lemoshe misinai. That means, right, that there is no clear source, so to speak, in the Torah for them. It means they were transmitted to Moshe at Har Sinai. And the best way to understand halacha l'Moshe m'Sinai is that they're axiomatic, meaning that you can't ask why. Sometimes in mitzvos, we can get into the conceptual foundation of the basis for the halacha. But a lot of times, halacha Moshe Misinai, you can't do that. For example, let's take a kezias, all right? So if you asked, why is a kezias a shear? You can't ask such a question because you would ask the same question if it was kebetza or if it was whatever. There has to be some shear. So it's axiomatic. So these things are axiomatic. And if you don't have one of them, it's makif. Lefikach, im shina ba'achas men, harei tefillin psulos. So if you change any one of these 10, the tefillin become pasul. Shnayim hain b'ksivasan v'shmana u'shmona b'chipuyen u'kshiras v'tzosein. So two of them have to do with how you write it, okay, the writing, and the other 8 have to do with how they're wrapped and tied with the straps. Okay, so we're going to focus now on the first 2, which have to do with writing. V'ilohene shnayim shebichsivasan. These are the 2 that have to do with writing. Shekosven osan b'dio. So the first one is they have to be written with ink. And the second one is v'shiyu nichtaven ala klaf. Okay, and the second is that they need to be written on klaf. Now you'll be surprised. Dio is pretty basic. Klaf, a lot of people don't realize what the term klaf means. The Rambam's using the term klaf here in a generic sense. Pretty soon we're going to come to the halacha, which is a little more detailed in so far as what klaf actually means. Okay, halacha dalet. Ketan ma'aseh hadio. So how do you make ink? Okay, mekapsin ha'ashen shel shminim or shel zefes v'shel shava. So you gather together like the vapor of certain oils or tar or wax. Ukiyotze behen. Note, by the way, it's not specific to any one of these things. V'govlin osam b'srafa ilan. Right, and you kind of mash it together with the sap from a tree, uvimat dvash, a little bit of honey, the losason oso harba, and you moisten them a lot, the dachan oso, and you bat it down, right, ad shiyase rikikin, until they're like kind of cake like, umiafshin oso, umatsdin oso. So you're kind of making like the ink foundation. Right now it's in a hard form, okay, but you're making it like a chunk, it's like a chunk of ink, okay, but you can't write with it until what? When it comes time to write, shoreya b'mei afatzim, that's some sort of like translated literally gallnut water, but some sort of water complex. Uchiyotzebo, again, doesn't have to be specific to that. The kosebo. So what happens? You make a solid chunk of like a block of ink, right? And then you have to dilute it in order to write it. That's simply what the Rambam's saying. But what's the key? She'im timchakenu yeh nimchak. That's important. So that it's the type of ink that if I could erase it. Okay, and that's very important, by the way. One of the privileges I've had at Migdal is we've had a lot of guys learn Safras and write Megillas. And trust me, it's very important to be able to erase the ink off the parchment. V'zeu ha-dio shemitzman mufkar luchta wasfarim tefillin mezuzos. So this is the ideal dio. Okay, again, it's not as specific as this. There's a lot more flexibility insofar as Dio is concerned. Vim kasav shlashdan b'mei afatza v'kan ketum, right? Shehu omei v'nanim kakshirin. But let's say you used ink that is not able to be erased, like these examples, okay? It's still kasher. So when it comes to ink, right, ideally you use ink that could be erased, but it'd still be yotze if it's the kind of ink that's permanent. The best way to think of it, by the way, lahavdil, okay, but is think of like a Sharpie marker, okay? You know, like if you write a Sharpie marker on something, it never comes out. That's like the difference between the two types of ink, okay? But if that's true, in halacha, hey, the Rambam says, imkain, ma miyata ha'alacha shnei ma'am Moshe Mesinai, shuksuvim b'dio. But then, what exactly is the halacha of Moshe Mesinai about Dio teaching us? Meaning, ultimately, what's the chiddush then? Okay, so halacha Moshe Mesinai that you have to write with ink. What's it coming to exclude? So the ma'it sharmine tzvun kagon ha'adam v'yara kozavahem. You can't write with different colors. Okay, so that's the key. The color of the ink is what you learn from halacha Moshe Mesinai. Meaning, Dio means black ink, right? You cannot use red or green or any other color. Shim kasav esvarim otfilim mezuzas afilo osachas b'sharmini tzvonin obizav, right? Harayilu psulin. Even if there's like a tinge of gold, it's pasul. So the halacha Moshe Mesinai by Dio is that you must use black ink. That's the key. Whether or not it's erasable is secondary. The key thing is it must be black. Okay, that's one of the two. Now the other one is what you write these things on. Okay. Halacha vav shlosh aros hain. Okay, so there's three kinds of ha. Yeah. Okay. Halacha vav. Okay, so there are three types of hides or skins. Okay, that you're going to be able to rely on to write on. Okay, there's something called gvil. Okay, there's something called klaf, and then there's something called duch sustus. Okay, three kinds. Now, as you'll soon see, they're actually really one. Okay, as you'll see soon. So ketzah. So how do you do this? Lochin or behema ochaya. So you take the hide of the animal, okay? Umavirin hasear menatchila. So imagine, now you got to remember, like, you know, if you ever, I don't know if anyone here has flayed an animal, so you flay an animal, if you ever study korbanos, so you have to, you're mafshit to the ore. You peel off, right? You take a knife and you kind of peel off the hide, but it's pretty thick, okay? It's not like human skin, which is much thinner. Cow skin is, the hide is pretty thick. So you peel it off, okay, and you remove all the seyar. So all the hair on the top side is gone, okay? And afterwards, v'arachach mochon oso melach, you salt the hide, okay? V'arachach ma'adin oso bekemach, and you treat it with flour, okay? So, and you'll see what this does. V'arachach ba'afatza, ochiyotzebo, and then you bring in this other solution, okay? Again, it's like this resin. And what does it do? Mitzvarim, shemechatzin esor mechatzkin oso. Because what it does is it contracts, it shrinks the hide and straightens it. So right now, you take this whole big chunk, you have to treat it essentially. You have to treat it with certain chemicals, to put it in today's terms, until it becomes, it contracts and becomes very tough, okay? The zehu anikra gvil, and that's gvil. That is what gvil is. Okay, so gvil is a thick, relatively speaking, a thick piece of treated cow hide. Okay, now lach zayin, v'im lachu ha'or achar shehavir osaro v'chilku oso be'avav l'shnayim kimo shehav dinan avdanin osin achiu shnei oros. Now, what you can do is you could take that thick piece of hide, okay, and you can make a cut, okay, where you split it in half, not this way half, but in other words, imagine horizontally, okay? Imagine I take a knife and I cut basically halfway through the hide. So now I have two parts. I have an upper part and a lower part, okay? So that's what the expert has done. So again, gvil is when it's in one piece. I take a knife and I cut, I don't think it's a sagittal cut, but anyway, I cut from east to west, okay? And now I create two pieces of ore, okay? Echad daku, so one of them is thin, shemimul haseyar, right? So that's the one that is, right, in other words, that's the hair side. There's one side of it where the hair was, which is the outer part, that's thin. The echad avav, who shemimul abasar. And then the thicker part, the thicker one, is the one that's closer to where the flesh of the cow would be. So when the expert splits it, okay, he's going to end off with a thinner upper part, okay, which is where the hair was, and a thicker lower part, which is where the basar is. Okay, and what do you do with those two pieces of ore? The avdu oso melach, right? You treat it again with salt. Varchach v'kemach, varchach v'hatzach, yotzibos, just like we do with the veal. Now, zeh hachilek shemimul ha-sear nikra klaf. So the upper part of that, remember, you cut it. The upper part is called klaf. Zeh shemimul ha-basar nikra duch sustus. And the lower part, right, is what's called duch sustus, and that's what's used for, as you soon see, mezuzah. So if you want to know what these terms mean, right, there's, again, gvil is, you'll see why there's a nafkam in here, but gvil is the unit of ore, okay? If I split it, klaf is the upper part, and duch sustus is the lower part, okay? Why does this matter? Halacha ches. Halacha l'moshe misinai, sheyuk kosvim sefer Torah al ha-gvil, the kosvim makom aser. So the halacha l'moshe misinai is that we use gvil, which means uncut ore, meaning ore in its the one chunk, right? And you write it on the top part, okay, where the hair was, okay, not on the fleshy side. This you kosman at tefillin on the klaf, okay, the kosman makom basar. But when it comes to klaf, which remember is the thin upper part, okay, you write it on the lower side. This you kosman, and that's for tefillin. This you kosman mezuzah al duchsustos the kosman makom aser. And you write the mezuzah on duchsustos on the side where the hair would be. The kolakosi of klaf. Okay, so that's the, before we go on, that's the halacha at this point, that a sefer Torah is written on gvil, tefillin's written on klaf, and mezuzah is written on duchsustos. So there are they all come from the same thing. The nafkamina, so to speak, the difference simply is that, to put it in different terms, sefer Torah is written on gvil, right? Tefillin's written on the upper half, so to speak, of gvil, right? And mezuzah is written on the lower half of gvil. That's the way to think of it. Meaning, and that's another, again, that really reflects the idea that tefillin and mezuzah are really coming from sefer Torah. You understand? In other words, they're really representative of sefer Torah because they're written on, so to speak, like gvil, but like a half of gvil. So that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu set it up. The kol kosev al klaf makom sear o shekasev gvil with duchsustos makom basar pasul. But if you write on the wrong side, okay. So if you're writing, let's say, the sefer Torah, and you write it on the basar side and not on the sear side, that's pasul, right? So you can't write it upside down. You have to write it on the side that the halachic system demands you write it on. Halacha tes afa pi shekachi alacha moshe sinai im kasev sefer Torah al klaf kasher. Okay. So if I wrote a sefer Torah on klaf, it's still kasher. Velo nemar gvil, right? Ela lemay duch sustas shim kasev alav sefer pasul. What the Rambam is basically saying is that, remember, since sefer Torah is written on gvil, and you have to write on the sear side, okay? So when it says gvil, so you should write it on gvil. But if you wrote on klaf, it's kasher because you can argue you have the upper half of the gvil. You just can't write on the lower half of the gvil. That would be pasul for sefer Torah. V'chein in kasef as a mezuzah al klaf, o al gvil kasher, right? Lo amru al duchsustos al lemitzvah, and same with mezuzah. Okay, mezuzah, they don't write on duchsustos today. Everyone writes everything on klaf. It's just easier. So if you wrote the mezuzah on klaf or even on gvil, it's kasher because duchsustos is only there for mitzvah. Okay, so there's no. Okay, so Lacha Yodaram says, "Ein kosin svarim tefillin mezuzos al gabe or behema tmeya v'ofachaya tmeya." So you can't write any one of the three using the hide from animals that are treif, okay, ava or whatever tame, ava kosvin al gabe or behema v'chayev of tahorim, right? Afilu nevelos or treif v'shalahen. But you could write on the hide of an animal that's a nevela. I mean, let's say it wasn't shechted properly, that would be okay. And that's interesting. You gotta be careful to lush in here. You can't write on the skin, okay, of a fish, but not because there's an intrinsic problem with writing on it. Rather, there's a stench, right? It's gonna be kind of a stinky, safer, let's say mezuzah. And you don't want a stinky mezuzah, right? But that's not an intrinsic problem. That's more of a problem of you could argue even hinder, but it's certainly not a an intrinsic problem. Okay, Alachin Aleph. Gvil shal sefer Torah, beklaf shal tefillin, o shal sefer Torah. Right, tzarech la'avid osan lishman. This is a famous piece, I think it's in the Rav Chaim, about this idea of ibud lishman. But what it means is that the preparation of the hides, of the skin, must be done l'shem sefer Torah. Okay, so the person, when he's making the, he's peeling off and preparing the gvil, he must have in mind, this is for sefer Torah. Vim avdan shal lishman, psulin, right? And if he did it without in having in mind for the purpose of Sefer Torah, it would be possible. Fikach, im avdana kusi psulin. Afal pisha marnalo lakusi la'aved or zeh l'shema sefer, or l'shema tefillin psulin. So therefore, if I ask, let's say, a kusi, let's make it simple, like a non-Jew, to be ma'aved, right, this or for the purpose of a Sefer Torah, it'd be possible. Okay? Shakusi al das atzma hu oselo, lo al das asokar oselo. Because the kusi is ultimately doing it with his own das. So therefore, which you can extrapolate, anything that requires an action that's done, that requires l'shem this maisa, right, this object, if a kusi does it, it's possible. But mezuzah is the exception. So tefillin and sefer Torah require ibud l'shma, mezuzah does not. So theoretically, you can instruct a goy to prepare the hide, the skin, for the writing of the mezuzah. Okay, lachid beis. So there's another important one. Halacha l'Moshe miSinai she'ein kosvin sefer Torah v'lo mezuzah ela besirtut. Okay, now what's sirtut? So sirtut, if you ever look at a sefer Torah, you'd see lines, right? These etched lines in the sefer Torah itself, right, which allows for a straight writing of the sefer Torah. You're never going to see in a Sefer Torah the lines kind of dragging down, right? In other words, it follows a very exact thing. And this isn't, whereas you could call that hiddur, right? Sirtut is ma'akev. It's actually ma'akev. It's not simply like something to make it look nicer. It is ma'akev. Aval tefillin ein atzrichan sirtut, v'shehem mechufin. But it's interesting, tefillin don't require sirtut because they're going to be covered, okay? Now, don't jump on my back. Well, aren't mezuzahs covered? No. Remember, we put mezuzahs into cases. Okay, that's what we do. But the mezuzah is a scroll, right? It's an exposed scroll. Tefillin, right, cannot be exposed. The parsha of tefillin must be hidden, so to speak, in these boxes. They're covered, right, by definition. We just choose to put covers over our... I mean, the Gemara does mention how they would put the mezuzah into a tube, right? But the idea of these mezuzah cases that we do, which hide the mezuzah, that's not what he means here by mechupa. Mechupa means it's built into the very identity of the thing and that it's supposed to be covered. That's also interesting. You're allowed to write tefillin mezuzah without a text in front of you, meaning by heart. Because everyone knows these parshas. So if a sofer sits down to write mezuzah, he can write Shema Yisrael without looking at something to guide him. But he can never write, a sefer Torah can never be written, right, by heart. Okay, there has to be something that he's working off of. Okay, let's stop here.